Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey.
This is Revitalize and Replant. Thank you, Dan Hirsch, for bringing us in. Dan is away today, but we have with us Jimbo Stewart.
The Florida man, Jimbo Stewart.
All the way from Jacksonville, Florida. And Jimbo's, he's got race cars on his shirt.
He does.
He looks great. Got tattoos up and down his arms.
We're here.
He's got the big ear piercing in his nose. And he got a new piercing right through your nose. That looks really good. That's great.
That's not true.
That is not true. That would be awful.
No, I would hate that.
Yeah. Would you?
No. I would lovingly rebuke you, brother.
Every time you sneeze and it's just like stuck to, no, I would not.
You wouldn't?
No. I mean, nothing against a brother out there that's got that, but I'm not going that way.
When I served in Montreal many years ago, I had
pictures. Oh, I've seen the pictures.
You had the frosted tips.
I had blonde hair, frosted hair. I had blue glasses.
You were super cool.
I had pierced ears.
What did your dad think of your pierced ears?
My mother told me that if I was to ever preach your funeral, I had to take those things out. I said, well, like you would know whether I did.
Oh,
ooh. All right. Anyway, so today we're gonna really switch gears.
Yes.
Lifeway. You remember Lifeway?
Yeah, we're talking about based off of last episode, we had talked about encouragement and for rural and things that you can do. One of the things we're talking about is being a very loving church.
That's
and,
right.
And what it actually means to be a loving church.
Right. Rural churches, you can be a loving church. Nobody's going to tell you can't do that. So focus on the things you can do. And by loving, we don't mean just loving each other. We mean loving your community.
Yeah.
All right, but here's Lifeway did a research study not long ago, and they looked at 2,000 people who do not attend church, and basically said, "What would influence you maybe to even consider attending a church?" And the number one answer was if they would change their name to something cool. The number two answer was if they had a really great logo. Number three answer, if they had a really kicking band.
So we're going to talk about how to do those things.
Kicking band.
Number four answer, if they had Six Flags Over Jesus for the kids. I might come.
A kicking
band. I'm an old man. I'm going to tell you something. When Lifeway interviewed 2,000 unchurched people and said, what might motivate you to consider attending church? None of that was on the list.
None.
No.
They don't care what you call that church's
None.
Name.
No.
Trust me.
No.
They could care less what you call
yeah.
it. They
yeah.
don't even, they want to hear good music. They can go hear it. They're yep. not going to hear it at your church
That's
on Sunday
right.
morning.
Yep.
We've talked about all of this, right? But here are the things right from their own mouths. Unchurched people, this is what they said would motivate us to consider attending your church.
Yep.
Man, you ought to be doing these things. Number one, Mr. Halleck,
Number
what was
one,
it?
I saw them treat others better because of their faith.
Treat other people better.
Other people. In other words, I observe these Christians at this church, and it seems that they're not just talking about loving people, as Jesus tells us, but they actually love people. They
yeah.
actually treat people
yeah.
with kindness and grace.
Right.
And I'm drawn to that.
That's right.
I'm drawn to that.
That's right. And that means people who serve them in restaurants,
yep.
mm-hmm. People who work for them, people that they work for, co-workers they see. There's something different about these people who are Christians.
Dude, on social media.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this is a big one. Because
yeah.
let's just be honest.
Good
I mean,
grief.
A lot of people are going to make a judgment about your church
no.
based on how they see you interact on social
yeah.
media.
Right.
And do they see you... post things that are encouraging and point and build others up?
Yeah.
Or do they see, dude, these guys say they're encouraging, but have you ever seen what he posts?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's just the reality.
Absolutely.
You know? How do they see you treating others because of your faith?
And so the opposite of that is if they see you treating others poorly and you claim to be a person of faith, it reinforces in their mind, I have no desire to attend church
yeah.
or to hear what those Christians have to say because their life doesn't measure up.
Yeah.
So I'm just telling you, if you don't treat people nice and people know you're a person of faith and at work, you're not the most generous, kind, compassionate person at work, you're losing it.
Yeah.
I mean, you really are. Number two, Jimbo.
I saw them caring for people's needs because of their faith. So this is moving beyond just being nice.
Right.
But this is looking at learning and addressing the needs of people in the community, in the congregation, in a way that displays Christ's love through us living out the fruit of the Spirit as we compassionately care for the community and others around us.
Because we should be the most generous people because we've been dealt most generously with. And so when they look at the church, they should see people not that, we always say that the church is there to serve the community. The community is not there to serve the church.
That's right. That's
so
right.
How can we serve our community, even people who'll never attend our worship services?
Yeah.
How can we care for them with their physical needs, their emotional needs, and their spiritual needs?
You know, yesterday, we're preaching through Acts right now. Yesterday, yep. I preached in Acts 9 about Tabitha, when the Lord raises Tabitha from the dead. And what's very clear is she was deeply loved in that community. And all it says about her is that she was full of good works and acts of charity. So this was a woman who did not have a big platform. She was not a leader in the sense of Peter and Paul. She was a woman who was kind and loved her Lord and sought to live that out in her life. And that was her legacy. And that's an incredible legacy. And I think of, when I think of this, I think of Tabitha, and I think of the power of not just talking about doing acts of charity and love, but actually living it out. Faith without works is dead. What does that mean?
Yeah.
It means it is my joy as I seek to love the Lord who loves me to love other people and serve them.
Wouldn't it be great when you say we're going to do an outreach plan at our church, and we're looking to grow numerically, reach on church people, and this is your outreach plan, and you share this with your congregation. These things we're talking about right here.
Yeah,
we're not talking about trying to get more people to attend a worship service by having some great event, but rather how can we live our lives as we go where we are, and people, because this came from unchurched people who said, you know what, if I saw Christians doing this, I would be motivated to learn why they do it.
Yeah, it's having a missionary mindset. You have to move into a missionary mindset in your community, loving the people well, so that they see that this faith that we talk about is a real thing.
So I know he listens to the podcast, so he may hear this, but man, I got a friend of mine who was saved in prison, and he got radically converted, and Spencer's his name, and he's doing so well, and he's quite successful in life now and doing great. But he will go down to some of the most, and he lives in a small town, but he'll drive into the city, he knows where to go, and on a regular basis he will buy socks and shirts and underwear to some of the homeless men, and he doesn't just throw them at them.
Yeah.
He sits down with them.
Yeah.
He talks to them.
Wow.
He knows their names. Mm. He has a meal with them.
Yeah.
And you look at that, and the only reason Spencer does that is because of his faith. I mean, he treats people differently and meets their needs because of what Christ did for him. And he's out of that overflow of a whole new life he has because of Jesus. He just doesn't know how to be anything but generous to the most marginal hurt people in the world. Now look, if you're looking at somebody like Spencer, you go, okay, I don't know what that is, but that the world doesn't have that, and I'm interested in that.
Yeah.
And I look at him and I see him as a real model for that. He doesn't, he's not, he just does it as a regular person. It's just who he does, it's what he loves to do. And I know there are other believers out there like that, but caring for people's needs because of their faith.
That's right.
Number three, unchurched people said, I would be willing to listen and maybe attend church because I saw some Christians actually happier because they were Christians. Now, again, go back to social media. Most of the time on social media, Christians are complaining and moaning and angry and bitter, and that's just at each other, let alone the world, right?
Yeah.
We haven't even gotten there yet.
Yeah.
And so, the scripture says to always be ready to give an answer for the hope that is in you.
Yeah.
And so we focus on, how do we proclaim the gospel? Forget that. When was the last time anybody asked any of your church members, where'd you get all this hope?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the real question.
Yeah.
They're not asking the question
because
we're not showing that we have any hope.
Yeah.
Halleck, what do you think of that?
No, I love it. I mean, when I see this, I
Halleck,
saw
you,
them
you
be
do
happier.
This so well.
Well, I'll tell you what. I think what this is seeing, and we've seen this over the years in our church, is I think the world doesn't know what to do with joy. Really what we're talking about is the joy of the Lord.
That's right.
Yeah.
And here's the deal that I've found. It looks kind of weird to the world sometimes, but they're drawn to it. There's something there. Heck, it looks weird to a Christian sometimes.
Right.
But there is nothing more contagious than the joy of the Lord. It's a Holy Spirit overflow that leads into loving people. And so it's not this fake kind of worldly happiness that's dependent on circumstances. It's from the deep well of the Spirit in your life that there's a joy, even in the midst of cancer and suffering and pain,
right,
that nothing in this world can take away. And I'm telling you, lost people go, I do not know what that is, but I want that.
And pastors, I just want you to listen up, all right? We do not, and I include myself in this, we do not prepare our church members for suffering. We don't instruct them on what to do when suffering comes. We don't prepare them for the fact that no matter what happens in their life, they will suffer. As our friend Frank Lewis points out, you will encounter storms even when you are obediently traveling with Jesus. So how do we help them through those storms so that the storms become a platform on which to display the true joy of being a Christian?
Yes.
I just think we don't deal with that well enough. So our people don't know what to do when they do have tragedy in their life.
That's right.
And we need to prepare them for that, because it is an incredible opportunity for the world to look at Christians and say there's something different. They are joyful people even in the midst of difficulty and calamity.
That's right. That's right.
Number
That's
four, right. Jimbo.
I saw them use their faith to solve problems in our community is one of the things that they said.
That's an interesting
on this
one,
survey.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, if you notice something, unchurched folks are, everybody wants to make their life mean something. And so they all want to save the planet. They want to save the world. They want to save the community. They want to save the, which is great. I mean, I understand that. So they are interested in those kinds of things. And if they see the church not interested in those things, it's really difficult for them to understand. Well, you say you love people, but you don't care about the community. You don't care about the world. What's up with that? So they want to see that faith in action. Mm-hmm. And so, again, we did this at Warnell Road in the church in the book, Reclaiming Glory. We talk a lot about it, but we just threw ourselves to the most troubled high school in the community, and people couldn't ignore that. And some people would never listen to this, guys. This is important. If you're driving, pull over to the side of the road, take a listen to this. Some folks will never come to your church, right? But if you're going to help an inner city school that's messed up, there are some people who want to do that. Okay, and you can intersect with them at that point that you'll never intersect with them anywhere else. And that's what we did. Yeah. And some people say, well, how do you reach wealthy people? My community, they don't have any, you know, physical needs. They don't need food. They don't need entertainment. They don't need eyeglasses. You know, they don't need a block party. They got everything they need. I'll tell you how you do it. They want their life to matter, and they care about their community. So you create a way where you're serving some really underreached people or underserved people or some kids who are at risk, and you invite them to help you serve those kids, they will do that because they want their life to mean something. So it's a really important place for Christians not to find themselves outside of community involvement and community service.
Yeah, that's really good.
Schools are such a great place to do that. In almost any community, a school is a great opportunity to look and see where you could be a part of bringing reconciliation and help into that community.
And other nonprofits. I say this all the time to guys. Look in your county. Look at every nonprofit that serves children, that serves older adults, that serves people who have all kinds of other needs, people with addictions. Find out where the nonprofits are that are serving your community. Learn all you can about them and find ways how you can connect with those and start working in those places without reinventing the wheel and just serving people. There's all kinds of nonprofits out there.
You know, along with serving too, I would say with this is prayer. Yeah. I think what makes our service as Christians different than the service of a good pagan,
right?
Obviously, it's out of obedience to the Lord. It's because we love the Lord. But it's also because we do so by the power of the Spirit, who we are dependent on. And this is where I think integrating prayer all the time and leading in that way. So you show up and you're serving in a school. I think, man, let's pray. We need God to help. You know, it's being a leader, pastor, that says, man, I'm not ashamed of the fact that we need the Lord and prayer matters. And we actually believe that God is the one who can really bring healing to this community. He uses us, but we need the Lord. And I think, again, sometimes I think I see pastors of churches go to the extreme of like, man, we just don't want to, you know, be the weird Christians.
Right.
And so Jesus never even enters the picture. And I'd say, dude, you're a pastor. You're a church.
Right.
Don't be ashamed. You don't want to be the weirdo.
Right.
But like, man, be a praying church and let your community know we are praying for God to move in this community.
Absolutely. All right.
We came across a nonprofit near the replant in Jacksonville, Florida that called Justice Coalition that would come alongside families of victim crime, violent crimes, and they would love them well through that process, through the legal process, give them guidance and everything. And then at the end of every year, they host a event where they love on, encourage, and shepherd, and in some ways, those people. And they were looking for somewhere to do it. And so we ended up letting them use our church to do that. I mean, and the mayor's there and the district attorney's there.
Yep.
And they asked if I would pray over it, share the gospel.
Sure.
Wow.
And so for like 6 years in a row, I got to be at that event every year, host it, pray at it and share the gospel with some of the most hurt families in our city.
Yeah, if you're in a city of any size, you're going to have all kinds of anti-crime nonprofit groups. We have one in Kansas City called the Ad Hoc Committee Against Crime. I got involved with them, and we ended up doing a longest night every year on December 20th, where we work with the county prosecutor, invite all the families of murder victims to our church on December 20th, and also Ad Hoc, and a group called Mothers in Charge. These are mothers of murder victims. So we just found all kinds of groups we could connect to and love and serve. And, yeah, they call me pastor. They expect me to pray when I get there. Right, they expect me to talk about Jesus when I get there.
Yeah.
But that means something to them, that this church is willing to help people that will never be able to help them back, right? And try to solve problems in our community. And believe me, violence and murder are a huge problem in our community. Yeah. So be active and be involved. Don't be afraid of doing that.
That's great.
The lost world's looking to see if you'll do that. Number five said what, Mr. Halleck?
Says, I saw them use their faith to help them solve their personal problems.
Mm-hmm. So your personal issues in life, you not only dealt with them, but you used your faith, and that means you communicated to them how your faith helped you do that.
And I think a lot of folks, perhaps if they have a background in the church, it's one of dead religion.
Yeah.
And I think, I mean, the thing that changed my life when I was 15 is when I learned for the first time that I could have a personal relationship with the living God, that he loved me, that I could walk with him. Listen, a lot of folks, that is a foreign concept. And so when I look at this, I saw them use their faith to help them solve their personal problems. They need to see, man, the Lord is living and active and personal. Like, this is not dead religion we're talking about. This is a living God who knows every hair on your head, who made you for himself, for you to enjoy and know. And I think they're watching that. What kind of faith do we have? Right. Are we just churchgoers?
Exactly.
Or are we men and women who love the living Christ and walk with him every day?
And do we use our faith? Do we let them see how it affects our life and makes our life noticeably better? Are we aware of that? Or do we keep it so quiet that they never know about that anyway?
Well, yeah, as part of it, they're only going to know that if we're in each other's lives. If your neighbors know you, then they know the problems going on in your life, and then they see whether your faith actually ends up being a part of the process of healing for you.
And in that way, your problems become, again, a platform on which to display the glory of God.
Real quick, I won't go long on this, but, you know, when our son got cancer when he was 13, we had moved into our new house 2 months before that.
Mm-hmm.
So we're in a new neighborhood, a new street. Nobody knows us. And immediately, they're aware that our son is battling cancer. And for us, to this day, you know, we're when you're going through that, you're in survival mode,
right?
You're just trying to figure it out. But man, our only hope was the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we don't have any believers on our street.
Mm-hmm.
And when we came back from the hospital, I mean, to this day, it has allowed us to engage with our neighbors because all of them are like, hey, we want to follow you and what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Every day, we're just talking about Jesus and our hope in the Lord hope in the Lord.
There you go.
And so anyway, all that to say isn't to pat us on the back. It's really to say, man, when you're in the pit of despair, your only hope is the Lord.
Mm.
And I want them to know that because if they're not in the pit yet, they will be.
That's great.
And where are they going to go?
That's so good. Mm. The last one, these again, in case you just joined us late, if you can join late on a podcast, I'm not sure how that works, but anyway.
Depends how you were dialing in.
Those of you just tuning in, by the way, we have traffic and weather on the 8s. Anyway, those of you joining late, we've been talking about, the Lifeway did some research, and they looked at 2,000, they interviewed 2,000 unchurched people. I don't know how they found 2,000 unchurched people, but they found them. And they asked them, you know, what kind of things would make you want to go to church or listen to Christians? And these are what they said. Saw them treat others better because of their faith. Saw them care for people's needs because of their faith. Saw them happier because of their faith. Saw them use their faith to help solve community problems. And I saw them use their faith to help problems in their own life, solve problems in their own lives. Number six, and the last one, we saw multiple ethnicities and races working together in one single church.
Mm. Now you should talk about in Kansas City. You've really seen this.
Yeah, we really have.
Yeah.
And the world looks at that. You know, they say, you know, 10 o'clock on Sunday morning is the most segregated hour in North America. And there's something about heart language and heart language worship. I fully understand that. But I do believe that when you start seeing multiple ages, multiple generations, multiple ethnicities coming together, only the gospel can do that.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, people tend to group in affinity no matter what, right?
Yeah.
But when they've got all these different people coming together, it's because of the gospel.
Amen.
And I really think we could do a whole other podcast on how that's really important. Mm. But what I do know is that the lost and unchurched people look at this and say, if you've got many different ethnicities mm-hmm. worshiping together and many different backgrounds and yep. life expectancies or life age groups and other kind of things, there's something different about that.
Yeah.
And indeed, that's true. So seeing multi-races and ethnicities and working together in one single church really has an impact.
And real quick, in Jacksonville, same yeah. thing. I mean, you've experienced, you could talk about this all day.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and it's only the gospel that can do that. But it overcomes all this other stuff when they see that can happen. Because, listen, lost people do not, unchurched people, when they walk into your church, they don't care what color your carpet is.
No.
They don't care what your music sounds
no.
like. They,
no.
they care about these things that we've been talking about. Have
yes.
you loudly displayed the love, joy, and peace of the gospel in your life mm. and in your church? Hey, listen up. As we come to a wrap, I just want to encourage you, listener, man, give a follow here. Thank you guys for letting me be a part of this for just a little while. Two episodes a week, and you should go ahead and subscribe.
And usually one of those is pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, one out of two. One out of two.
We're looking for, we're trying to bat 500. That's all we want. If we can do that, we'll be doing all right.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.